It is a spiritual axiom that every time we are disturbed, no matter what the cause, there is something wrong with us. If somebody hurt us and we are sore, we are in the wrong also. But are there no exceptions to this rule? What about justifiable anger? If somebody cheats us, aren't we entitled to be mad? Can't we be properly angry with self-righteous folk? For us, these are dangerous exceptions. We have found that justified anger ought to be left to those better qualified to have it. Concur. I concur. I should have concurred. What up, y'all? My name is Christian. And today I'm here to be of service. How can I help? I have some things here to discuss. When you are disturbed, it is you who is disturbed. Oh, yeah. I love this, and I hate this. This statement. So let's break it down. Let's break it down. All right. I like it. I like this statement. When you are disturbed, it is you who is disturbed. I like it because I have some control. If I'm the one, then I could do something about it. That's why I like it. Y'all want to hear why I hate it? I hate it because I don't get to blame anybody else. When I am disturbed, it is me who is disturbed. Yeah. Anger is a cause of suffering. So let's just break down anger. This ain't gonna take long. All right. Do I need to back up disturbed? What's disturbed? Disturbed here is talking about angry. It's talking about self-righteous anger, or resentment, bitterness, hatred toward another who doesn't think like me. Anger is judgment. And I know this is early to quote my main man here, but to quote my main man, Jesus mi Cristo, he's quoted as saying, because someone heard him say it, and then they wrote it down. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, raka, kaka, is answerable to the court. Anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of fire or hell. Boy, stop. Raka is like a curse. It's like, F you, boo. Get you. I was looking around. It's kind of his only real teaching on it. But what a teaching. This anger, when I'm disturbed. It says, he says, you be subject to judgment. Because the standard in which you judge others is the standard in which you will be judged. Or maybe the standard in which you judge yourself. So anger is judgment. I'm right, they're wrong. Whatever that person did to me has made me angry and justifiably angry because what they did was wrong. And I talked to four people and all four of them agreed with me. Yeah, that wasn't cool. Wasn't cool, dude. He shouldn't have done that to you. She shouldn't have done that. Wasn't right. So go on ahead and be angry. You imagine if you just read that 5:22, Matthew 5:22, and then just let it sit there. I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister is subject to judgment. What? Just stop right there. When was the last time you was angry at a brother and sister? Oh, let's clarify. Who's your brother and sister? Everyone. Every other human being who exists on this planet. Who will and has existed. Well, what you mean by brother? Brother and sister? Because you know what I mean? Like, you could be angry at other people if they're not your brother and sister. If they don't believe like you and they're not in the same tribe as you, then they're not your brother and sister. So you can get mad at them. That's okay. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. When was the last time you were angry at somebody? When was the last time you read a Facebook post and was like, F this fool, talking about this? Yeah. The prophet Yeshua says, you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged. You're going to be judged by the same standard in which you judge others. You're facing judgment. You're in that. You're in that judgment. I'm right. They're wrong. So, let's see here. A couple things here. Part of the thing with anger is it's attached to desire. I desire to be right. And this person or this idea, this ideology is infringing on my. Have you ever had anybody come to you and say something to you about you that makes you mad and made you mad? You're like, man, how you gonna tell me? What right do you have to tell me about that? Every time that's happened to me, it's because on some level they're right, and I don't like that. And so that stems from my desire to be right. I used to have a coffee cup that said something about you could be right or do right, something like that. And you get it why we want to be right. I mean, we want to fit into something that makes sense to us. So we want to be right. When you are disturbed, it is you who is disturbed. It is a you who is disturbed. It is you who is disturbed. And now I'm looking at myself. It is you who is disturbed. There's a teaching out of the Quran, which I was hesitant to quote for some reason, but it's good. If you're angry, sit. and paraphrasing here, which is probably why I was suspect to quote it, but if you are still angry, lie down. Stop right there. Few people have this. Now, this ain't from the. This is from the 12 and 12. Few people have been more victimized by resentments than have we. This is alcoholics, but I'm going to say we, humans. It mattered little whether our resentments were justified or not. A burst of temper can spoil the day. A well-nursed grudge could make us miserably ineffective. So keep in mind, the 12 steps is not just teaching us how to be, live sober. It's teaching us how to help others gain sobriety. So our spiritual condition is important. Self-awareness takes time and work. And you don't come to this, you ain't listening to this because you won't run around be angry at everybody talking about how you write. You listening to this because something within you is saying, I want to be better. I want to do better. I want to be of service. I want to help. I want to be a force of good. I want to be the salt of this earth. I want to manifest goodness. So it takes some time. It takes some time. And what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. That's from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So this is not a, hey, I vow to never be angry again in my life ever, period, because it's bad for me and Jesus said and the Quran said, and so I'm not going to do it. I'm just never going to be mad. Self-awareness takes time and work. And you don't come to a place where you can recognize your own anger until you've done some of that work. To become free of anger. So it's like step one is to recognize the harm of the anger. And mainly right now, a lot of people are self-righteously, justifiably angry. And I get it. I'm angry too, dude. I mean, I'm so angry. It's like I have a hard time with conflict resolution, you know, because I'm used to, it's like it's 0 to 100, you know. Some of that comes from my own stuff from growing up in a home with an alcoholic father who was verbally abusive, right? Not knowing which version I was getting when I walked into the room. And learning subconsciously how to deal with situations through anger. I say that now. And because I've done some work. Because I went back to reconcile some of that. Through therapy, working the steps, confession to another person. And that's not to say that I don't get angry. Ask somebody who lives with me or works with me constantly. I get angry. I get frustrated. That happens. But I think what's settled a little bit is my understanding that, yo, this ain't useful. This is like not going to be good. This is not going to bring me to a place of usefulness to God's people. Who's God's people? Everybody. Everybody. Everyone alive and living who has or will live on this planet or others. That's who God's people are. Just in case you're confused. The Apostle Paul, who wrote a bunch of letters to a bunch of people, and it got really popular and put into this book called the Bible. Probably one of the most influential philosophers on the planet. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not sin. I know sin's a big word. I know that might be a, like a word that hits you and you go, man, forget this. I'm out. Sin. Don't talk about sin. Don't use that word. Let me just give you a context for this word, just to help you, maybe, if you're even still here listening. Because maybe you ain't scared. Maybe you're willing to face why you disturbed by that word. Because when you are disturbed, it is you who is disturbed. So think of this thing, sin is something that it's harmful to you, and it's harmful to others, and it's harmful to your conscious contact with your higher power. So when you take action in these anger, right? That's going to create the illusion of separation between you, your fellow man, and or your higher power. That's what sin is. It's the illusion of separation. And I'm just going to double down on the illusion of separation. Get at me. It's an illusion. Because you ain't separate. Come on now. Self-awareness takes time and work. It takes time to get to a place where you're even desiring, and I don't mean desiring like gimme, 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 where you want to be of service to other people. It takes time to get to that place. We can get out of your own way, you know, that you want to be of use and helpful. I'm not getting what I want. I don't like what they're saying. It threatens my perspective and my interpretation of reality. I don't like what you believe in. And so I'm going to be not just angry. That's one thing, right? That's what this, what I like about Paul when he writes this, there's a lot of wisdom in just this little tiny little sentence. Do not sin in your, don't let it take you, right? Oh, you know, where it says, you know, if you're angry, sit. Like, don't go in your anger, you know what I mean? Like, how many of us have been angry and hit that keyboard, hit them thumbs, and went, bam, post that, take that, take that idea, put it out on the interwebs, and then somebody reads it. Anger begets more anger, and it begets more anger, and it creates more anger until somebody says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. I guess that's another thing, right? Like, we take on other people's anger. It fires us up. You know? It's like when the homie calls. And it's like, man, that fool, he just drove by, man. They jumped out the car. They jumped me, man. What's up, fool? Let's go. Let's ride up on him. It's like, what? Nah, hell nah. Come on, come on. And then everybody rallies and grabs the bats and the sticks and the knives. And they're like, let's roll. We riding out. Anger creating more anger. Feeding off each other. Somebody says, hold up. Peace be with you. I remember this time, a guy, I'm going to kind of wrap up really closely to this, but we were at a Carl's Jr., which would be a Hardee's out here in the East Coast. We're at a Carl's Jr., who has a Western bacon cheeseburger, and I love that Western bacon cheeseburger. It's not that great, but it's just, I guess, memory food. And they don't serve the Western bacon on the East Coast because it's the Western bacon. Let me get an Eastern bacon up over here. Barbecue sauce was invented out here, wasn't it? Well, why can't we get some of that over here? Anyway, I digress. So, we're at Carl's Jr., and this dude shows up. Hustler. He got a hustler spirit to him, and he's hustling us. Oh, shit. I just went dark. Okay. So, he's hustling us. And so he plays this game. He runs this game on us. Now, we're teenagers, right? So he like, look, I need 40 bucks. Okay? So look, I need 40 bucks right now. I need the money now. All right? And I need a ride down to Union Street. You give me 40 bucks cash, I'm going to write you this check for 60. You going to make 20 bucks. Says this to my homie Jason. My homie Jason's like, well, should I make 20 bucks? And we all talking like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if we should do it. Anyway, so we get in my Volkswagen Bug. Homie gives him 40 bucks. He gives him a check for 60. You know where this going. We go down to Union Avenue. Drop him off at some motel. Hotel Holiday Inn. He gets out. Probably goes by some crack. We dip out. And lo and behold, the check bounces. Lo and behold. Oh, didn't see that coming. Check bounces. So now my homie calls us, me and everybody, and says, yo, the check bounced. That fool ran game on us. We got to get him. We got to get him. We're like, yeah. So we roll out. Tires and bats and stuff. We go rolling. We post up at the Carl's Jr. Is there a statute of limitations on violent crimes? Because if so, nah. You'll hear where this goes. Anyway, so we get to the Carl's Jr. Man, lo and behold, this fool's right there running the same game on people. The same game. This is a sick individual, man. This dude is trapped. He's in a trap of lies. He's caught. He's bound by addiction. That crack cola got him. Running game on people. So we hop out the car, pull out the tools of brutality. We jam that fool up. Right there in the Carl's Jr. We jam him up. There's a moment. I'm standing. I can remember this vividly. I'm standing like on the side to him. And I have a tire iron. I have Volkswagen Bug. So I have this little tire iron. It's like that big. In my head, I can hear hit him. And I'm ready to just swing on him with this tire iron. Smash him in the back of the head, right? And I'm not just hear it, I feel it. It's rising up in me. This is what it's like in my head, like pretty much all the time. Then another person in my head, right? Not audibly, come on now. But you know what I'm saying? A voice. Right? Something. Peace be with you. Chill out. Hold up. Hold up. Wait. And so I don't swing. But I'm like, but something's gotta get done. Right? I was the one, yeah, in that crew, dude. I was the one that's like, let's go get this, let's go do that. I'm the one in any crew I'm in. I'm always the one that's getting everybody else in trouble. Now they willing participants. So if anyone's gonna swing and start this thing up, it's me. So I decided to say, you know, that ain't happening. I'm not willing to go down that path and pull up. And I say, nah, but he gotta pay for something. So we like, give us your shoes. Give us your shoes, fool. And so he kicks his shoes off, gives us his shoes, and we ride off into the sunset, having gained victory and justified our actions and what is it? He has paid his debt. Hear the music, that's us driving away, looking at each other like, yeah. And then we go off and get high and go graffiti somewhere, allegedly. So if maybe you don't got a tire iron in your hand, maybe you got a iPhone in your hand. Maybe you got a Facebook account. Maybe you got a Twitter following. Maybe you got an Instagram following. And you don't got a tire iron, but you got a phone. Nothing pays off like restraint of the tongue and the pen. Is what I'm finna say useful? Is what I'm finna do helpful? In my anger, am I sinning? And this is the thing, and this is the wrap up. This is why, going back to Jesus' teaching, it's so hardcore. Because it just says, if you're angry with a brother or sister, you'll be subject to judgment. He don't even go as far as if you do something in your anger. He's just saying that if you're angry, come on. So, getting back to this, right? So I love the steps. When you are disturbed, it is you who are disturbed. When that disruption is within you, when that anger is within you, when that resentment is boiling in you, when that bitterness is boiling with you, even if you don't act on it, it can render us useless of being of service to God and its people. Who are his people? Everyone. Who's your brother and sister? Everyone. Who's your neighbor? Everyone. I love you. It's better than you think. And God is good. Of this, I'm sure. I think that's about it. We're going to wrap it up for this a little bit. If you need help, then holla at your boy. Send me a message. Let's see what we could do. I ain't got the answers, but I could help you out. Point you to the places that I got it figured out. That's what I could do. So if you need help, message us, contact us. There is some statistics that are coming out that a lot of people are like overdosing, suicide. They're looking at your posts, your angry posts, and it's scaring them, dude. It's scaring them. And they're already hopeless, man. They're already hopeless. And you're scaring the children. And they're giving up. And they're going back to drugs. And they're taking their own lives. Because you're scaring them with your anger, with your justifiable self-righteous anger. That's real. People are scared about what's finna happen. And just know that.